Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I cut my iPad and I don't go to Facebook or Instagram or my emails, I go straight to my Bible app. And I start reading my Bible and I start doing my devotions first thing in the morning, straight away. That is the first thing that I do. So that is a good habit that I've put in my life. When I think of my life, though, and I think about any bad habits that I've got in my life, then the words Jaffa Cakes just come to mind straight away. And I think if I opened a pack of Jaffa Cakes to take two biscuits to have in my cup of coffee, then the whole packet's gone. It's even worse if it's one of the multi-packs where you get two in there, then the both of them are gone. So rather than two biscuits, I have two packets. And that is a bad habit that I have in my life. But let me give you some truths about habits. Firstly, habits are really hard to break, especially if you've been doing them for a long, long time. Over time, they become part of who you are, and it makes them much harder to break them, especially a bad one. And we heard that just as we thought about communion earlier. Michael shared from Romans 7 when Paul talks about a thing in his life. It was a bad habit in his life, and it was so hard for him to overcome in his life. See, bad habits never just miraculously disappear. It's an undo-it-yourself project, and it takes time. Secondly, habits are hard work. Good habits just don't appear in your life. As awesome as that would be, habits don't just show up. You've got to choose to work on the habits that you would like to have. If you want to be more generous, then you have to spend time being generous. If you want to be more patient, you've got to practice patience in your life. I need that. Thirdly, habits will determine your destination in life. Just because you want to get to that skinny certain level of success in life, it doesn't mean that it'll automatically happen just because you want it. See, just desire and something will never get you to where you want to go. Your destination in life is determined each day by the habits you keep. You've got to put in the work to get to where you want to go in life. High achievement doesn't happen automatically. And Michael shared, I think it was last week, when he said that it became many years to become an overnight success. It doesn't just happen automatically. You've got to put in some time to develop habits. Habits that will help you reach the destination that you desire in your life. Fourthly, habits help you to reach your dreams. If you have a dream of becoming a musician, then you need to begin to develop good habits of practicing music. Charlotte, if you're watching, practice. According to Michael, that's another fiver, but we'll negotiate that later. But if you want to be a writer, then you have to begin writing a little bit every night before you go to bed. Whatever it is that you dream of doing, the habits you work on from now matter. They will take you towards your dreams, or they'll take you away from your dreams. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3 says, people ruin their lives with the foolish things they do, and then they blame the Lord for it. Habits are really important. So choose today to make good habits in your life. Choose not to just let life pass you by, but rather put in the effort to develop good habits today. And if we want to have new habits in our life, I really believe that we need to see things from God's perspective. We need God's priorities in our life. Only God and His Word can give you the right perspective on life. So that's why I want to continue and finish off today that little the theme of stronger habits today. And remember, 4 weeks ago when we first started looking at it, I shared from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 in the message, and it says, I have a lot more to say to you about this, but it's hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. So what bad habits do you have? What habits do you have that have taken you further away from God? What habits do you know you need to either drop in your life or you need to implement in your life to lead a disciplined life? Will your current habits and patterns facilitate you becoming more like Jesus? See, we do not decide our futures. We decide our habits, and our habits will decide our future. If you stay exactly on the same path that you are on right now and follow your current direction, what will be your final destination? And of course, our goal as Christians is to be like Jesus. That is our goal as Christians. And our destination is eventually heaven. But to do that, though, I really believe that we need life-changing biblical habits that we can implement into our lives. And previously, 4 weeks ago, we started off, I gave you 6 life-changing habits. And we've previously looked at in more detail at the first 4 over the last 2 services that I've spoken at. And if you missed them, you can catch up on our YouTube page, or you can go to wherever you find podcasts and find Found Church and make sure you subscribe and you can listen again to those messages. But let me remind you of those 6 biblical truths, those 6 habits that I really believe we all need to implement in our lives. Firstly, focus in on the truth of Jesus. Secondly, trust God in difficult times. Thirdly, we need to win the battle of the mind. And not only did I speak about that 2 weeks ago, but Michael spoke an excellent message last week along a similar theme to that, and I really encourage you to listen to that if you missed it. Fourthly, you need to get actively involved in the life of the church. Fifthly, soak yourself in the Word of God, i.e. read your Bible. And number 6, keep praying. Keep praying. And I purposely kept these last 2, number 5 and 6, to the end, because for me personally in my life, these are the 2 most important habits that I've had to develop in my life. See, when I meet people in a pastoral situation and we start discussing what's going on in their world, not every single time, but the majority of the time, when I discover that, as I start to realise that when the wheels of their life started falling off, it's around about the same time as they stopped reading their Bible and they stopped praying. And it's true. That's true. And it's amazing the amount of times I've met people and I speak to them and they tell me their story and we delve in deeper and you ask them that question, how's your Bible reading? How's your praying? And it almost coincidentally at the same time, they stopped as the problems started. So let's jump into these last 2 life-giving habits. Firstly, soak yourself into the Word of God. Or in layman's terms, read your Bible. Read your Bible. See, as I grow older, it feels like the hours of the day are becoming less and less. Time flies, and all I see is that I have something to do with each passing second of the day. The busyness just keeps on increasing, and we can all find ourselves so busy. And in this busyness, it often means that we miss the most important aspects of our life. And I've lost count of the amount of times I've heard people saying to me, I didn't have time to read my Bible today. You've not got enough time not to read your Bible. Honestly, it's so important. See, the Bible, the Word of God, is so, especially in our time and our age, it's so readily available. It's on the internet, it's on your phones, it's everywhere, and it's so accessible. It's unbelievably easy to find it and to access it. But sometimes I think that just makes us take it for granted because it's so easy to access. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's why I read the Bible. That's why I read the Bible. It provides wisdom and guidance for me in my Christian life to use in my and working on my salvation, as referenced by Paul in that verse. But why is it so important to read the Scriptures on a regular basis? And I want to give you some reasons why it's so important to be doing that. Firstly, first and foremost, the Bible is essential for knowing God and His will for our lives. See, the book of Romans tells us that there are certain things we can know about God from general revelation. See, without Scripture, without reading the Bible, people can know about God's power and divine nature by examining creation, and Romans 1 speaks about that. And they also know God's law because it's written on their hearts. People have a conscience. They know what is right and what is wrong. And it talks about that in Romans chapter 2. But however, I would suggest to you this morning, if you're watching online, I would suggest there's a vast difference between knowing about God and knowing God personally. A huge difference. Everybody knows about God, which is why you're without excuse if you reject Him. But only some personally know Him. So let me ask you today, do you personally know Him? Are you watching online this morning? Do you personally know God in your life? See, the Bible is a foundational truth that teaches the history of the universe, the origin of sin, the reason for death, mortality, and so much more. Apart from God's Word, mankind would never learn the all-important message of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we need to read the Bible regularly because that's what enables us to know what God's will is. See, the message of eternal salvation is vital and it's a dominant theme in Scripture, but the Bible reveals so much more, including how God would have us live our lives today. And through the recorded examples of biblical figures, we can learn what pleases God and what does not please Him. His word also gives us direct instruction on how we should act as Christians in each and every single circumstance that we find ourselves in. God's word is inspired and it's inerrant, which simply means it's without error, and it was given to us for many different reasons. But Paul gives us a great reason here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 16. He says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." See, by reading the Bible on a consistent basis, you can find direction for your life and learn best how to serve God who gave His life for you. Thirdly, we need to read it and we need to get soaked in God's word so we actually know what's in there, so we know about it. See, reading through the entire Bible provides an opportunity to understand Scripture's big picture. To understand Scripture's big picture. But at the same time, though, we must be careful not just to read the Bible just for the sake of reading it. And I know in my life I fell into that trap a few years back where I would just want to read it. I've read my Bible in a year, this year, last year, next year. So I would just read it for the sake of reading it, just so I could have that wee tick on the Bible app saying, "You have completed today's reading." But actually, I really needed to slow down a little bit. And so when I find myself doing that, I actually turned on the audio version on the Bible app, so it made me slow down. And I wasn't just reading it for the sake of reading it. But how can we present ourselves approved before God? We need to diligently study His word so that we can acquire an accurate understanding of it and then faithfully act upon the truth that's written in Scripture. Studying the Bible requires careful and prayerful attention to the text and correct application of biblical principles of interpretation. Don't just cherry pick a verse just to suit your situation. You need to understand the context, where it was written, why it was written. All that stuff is really important, and just by taking a single verse, reading the verse for the day is great, but it will not transform your life. It's a good thing to do, but it will not transform your life. And then by studying God's word, you can not only more fully enjoy the wisdom God gives, but you can also bless your family and your friends by sharing the fruit of your labour, the hard work that you put in studying the Bible. Making God's word your authority in every single area is vital for defending against the many spiritual attacks that Christians face. And I want to encourage you, if you've never ever read the whole Bible, I want to encourage you to do that. But don't try and do it. I've seen plans you can read the whole Bible in a month and read the whole Bible in 90 days. Don't do that. If you've never read the Bible before, make it slower. Read the whole Bible in a year. Every day, commit to that habit of reading it each and every single day. You'll be much more encouraged and you'll not want to give up after 3 days. And if you've already read through the whole Bible from cover to cover, do it again. Don't stop. Don't stop. Then I would encourage you as well, read the Bible to study. Consider studying Scripture in more detail by concentrating on one passage per day. Continue thinking about that passage throughout the day and try to think of ways to apply what you have learned. It's all right reading it, but you need to actually then apply it to your life. And I met someone on Friday and we were chatting on Friday about reading the Bible and how we can do it. And the person was explaining that sometimes, because they read quite a lot that morning, I think there's so much, how do you apply all of this to my life? There's loads here, there's so much. So I was encouraging that person to actually just slow down a little bit. Just break it down. Especially if you're just new to reading the Bible, break it down bit by bit. What principle can I take from that that's relevant to my life today? Because if you try and take big chunks and try and apply it all in one go, you're going to get frustrated because you're not going to manage it. And you're going to give up. Just break it down to what suits you. Don't try and overstretch yourself. Make it easy for you. Develop your own good habit of soaking yourself in God's word. And don't forget to spend time in prayer, thanking God for giving you His eternal life and His word, and ask Him to teach you and guide you so you become even more faithful in following Him. So I want to encourage you today, if you're watching online or you're sitting here this morning, I want to encourage you to commit to read and study God's word regularly in order to better, to know God better, to know His Son better, and to know His will for your life better. And that brings me on to the sixth biblical habit, and the second one for today is to keep praying. And as we read through the Bible, we encounter common, ordinary people who pray. And these people talk to God in response to Him talking to them, or because they had some sort of need, then they would then cry out to God in their life. And prayer seems to me to be the glue that holds together the relationship between God and his people. Prayer is that glue. God sometimes chooses to perform miracles because people pray. People are healed both physically and spiritually because of prayer, and that happened in our services last week. The people who got healed weren't even sitting in this room. They were sitting at home, and we prayed, and God healed them. But we think here at church that prayer is a really important part of our worship. Every single Sunday or Wednesday night or whenever we gather, we'll pray. Whenever we come together, prayer becomes a focal point of our worship in so many different ways. Not only the, if you like, the pastoral prayers that are led from the front, but our silent prayers, your own silent prayers as you come in, as you sit down, as you listen, as you sing, the affirmations of faith that we hear, like Gordon's testimony earlier, and the call to worship at the start of the service. Every part of our worship can be considered a form of prayer, talking to God and listening to what he has to say to us. And we also think here in church that prayer is a necessary part of our daily walk. So we pray each and every day, every single day and during the day. We know that there's power in prayer. So we ask each other to pray for our particular needs and for us. We encourage you guys to pray for one another. Prayer is a gift that we can give each other. We can give prayer when we can give nothing else. We can ask for God's blessings, for his intervention or his will to be done in a situation, even when we do not know the specific details of what or for whom we are praying for. And I just want to say, I wish that every single person who's sitting in this room and every single person who's watching online joined us on Friday morning for our Zoom prayer meeting. Oh man, that was incredible. So we simply, at that prayer meeting, we read some scripture and we just declared some truths over Scotland and we prayed declaring these truths for Scotland. Man, people were jumping about in their houses. I was getting messages all day. People were excited. Man, there was power in that prayer meeting. There was power in that prayer meeting. That was incredible. And I want to encourage you, if you think prayer meetings are boring, prayer meetings are amazing. Prayer meeting is where the action happens. It's amazing. It's brilliant. I love prayer meetings. It's so good. And see, as we read in the book of Acts, we see the early church formed in the spirit of prayer. Jesus, his disciples, and the many followers, both men and women, all devoted themselves to prayer. The church was founded on prayer. And Jesus would slip off many times during his ministry in order to pray. He felt that prayer was necessary in order to stay in touch with God's will for his life and his ministry. Disciples learned from Jesus, asking him, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And that is when Jesus gave them and us what we would call the Lord's Prayer today. And if prayer was important to Jesus and the disciples of the early church, maybe then we need to consider that it's important to us as well. And I know that Jesus must have prayed a lot. Let's face it, Jesus had a lot to pray about. And so do we. So do we. We have a lot to pray about. Jesus wanted to be in conversation with God, his Father, and so should we. We have a few of his prayers written down for us, but none, in my opinion, are more beautiful than the one found in John 17. See, Jesus had gathered the disciples for one last meal together before his arrest and his crucifixion. He had passed around the bread and the wine, the first Holy Communion, or the Last Supper, as it's described in the Bible. He had washed their feet as a symbol of the servant of servanthood. And after he taught them for the last time, Jesus said, let's close in prayer. And I wish I had time to read that prayer for you this morning, but I don't have time to read it. So I'd encourage you, go and read John 17 for yourselves and read that prayer that's in there. It is so good. And let me just summarize, though, a few of the points in that prayer. Firstly, John tells us that Jesus looked up towards heaven and then he prayed. And in the first five verses, Jesus prays that God will honor Jesus' mission as it comes to a physical end here on earth. Jesus gives God the credit in advance for the success of his earthly ministry. Is it possible that we can give God thanks in advance for the things we ask in our prayers? Is it possible for us to be thankful for the things we know God will do in our lives, even the things that we have never seen him do before? Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. We can pray in faith, trusting and believing that they will come to pass. Of course we can. We can copy Jesus' example and give God thanks in advance for what he's going to do. And then Jesus continues to pray from verses 6 through to 19, but now he's asking God to help his disciples remain true to what he's taught them after he leaves them on earth. And God's church depends on the faithfulness of Jesus' disciples then and today. And that's you and me. That is you and me. Do we ask God in our prayers to give us the willingness to be faithful to him at all costs? Do we ask God as we begin each day to keep us from the many forms of sin and temptation that we will encounter in our day and causes us to be unfaithful? And then in the remainder of the chapter, Jesus prays for the future disciples. That is you and that is me. He prays that we will have love for him and for each other, unity with him and unity for each other, and everlasting life in heaven with him. But are we willing to pray for love, for unity and everlasting life for ourselves and for others? Are we willing to pray like Jesus? Prayer is one of the most important things that we can do as Christians. Why? Let me give you a few reasons why. Firstly, prayer helps us draw us closer to God. It's impossible to know someone if you don't spend any time with them. Prayer is an opportunity to spend time with God. To really understand the heart of God, you need to pray. In John 15, verse 15, Jesus says he no longer calls us servants, but he calls us his friends. Talking with God develops a deeper relationship with him. If I don't speak to my friends, then I'm never going to develop that friendship relationship with them. The deeper the relationship becomes, the more time that you want to spend with them. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, God calls us his fellow workers. So let me ask you that question. How can we be God's fellow workers if we refuse to talk to him? Secondly, prayer brings light to the darkness. Sometimes we forget just how powerful prayer is. See, we aren't fighting against something that's imaginary. Our prayers are fighting against spiritual battles that linger in dark places. And Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The power of prayer is so great. It has the power to defeat the devil and his power over us. He wants to destroy us, but God wants to bring us closer to him. Prayer is our tool to win the battle. Prayer gives us the strength and the faith to finish the race victorious. And I wish you were at that prayer meeting on Friday. Oh, I wish you were there. The power in that prayer meeting was unbelievable to bring light into the darkness. It was so good. Thirdly, prayer changes us. See, we often think that prayer changes God, but that simply isn't the case. Prayer changes us as individuals. When we spend time with God, he is working to change our heart to be more like his. The more time we spend with him, the more we are like him. Our habits and our lifestyles change because we spend time in prayer. We no longer live this kind of self-centered life, but one that is focused on others with a pure and sincere heart. Prayer changes us from the inside out. Fourthly, prayer protects. Protection is ours just for the asking. We need to pray for protection for our loved ones each and every single day. Pray for our loved ones by name, one by one. You can never pray too much for one person. And sometimes it helps to make a list of all the people that you need to pray for each day. And it always amazes me when Michael talks about the people he prays for on a daily basis. His list must be huge. You must get up really early, Michael, to pray all the way through that list. But we appreciate you praying for every single person every morning. See, doing this not only offers us protection, but also sets a great example for our children. Do you pray daily for your family for protection? Fifthly and lastly and most importantly, prayer brings breakthrough in our life. And one of the most important aspects of prayer in your life is always the breakthroughs that come from it. Sometimes we are faced with devastating circumstances and feel like we've got nowhere left to run. And it's at that point we should be praying, although there should have been plenty of prayer getting to that point. I want to encourage you, don't leave it till you get to the point where you're desperate before you turn to God in prayer. Don't get there. But fasting and prayer is powerful too. Sometimes you just need a message from God and you need to be solely focused on him to get it. It may be painful during the prayer and waiting process, but once you receive that answer, you will be so happy that you sought after him. While you wait, you can also sing, you can read the Bible or anything else that brings you closer to him. Even if the breakthrough doesn't happen on that day, you will receive the strength and the grace to face the problem the next day. Even if the breakthrough doesn't come, you will be able to face the next day. Yeah. Eventually, you'll receive an answer to your prayers or a peace about waiting a little bit longer in your life. When you look back over this time, you will most likely see it as some of the most spiritually rich time in your life. And it might not feel like that when you're praying for that breakthrough and believing, but when you can look back in hindsight over what's happened, some of that is the most spiritually amazing times in your life as you do that. It's so rich, and you learn so much when you look back over these things. So there you have it. The last two more stronger habits that will greatly improve your life. It will greatly improve your life. They will help you grow in your life. But I want to tell you this morning, friends, if you are in this room or you are watching online, that the best habit that you can put into your life is to follow Jesus. Is to follow Jesus. See, he wants us to place our faith in him. Let me ask you this morning, if you're in this room or you're watching online, have you placed your faith in him? Have you made that decision, that life-changing habit to follow Jesus? That's where it all starts. Yes. We can talk about all these six habits, but until you make that decision...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.